Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I'm calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a great show lined up for you today. We have my co-host and friend, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady herself from ProfitableStorytelling.com, calling in today. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Well, hello. It's always a delight to be back here with everybody on Relationship Marketing 101 Radio. It's a beautiful day in the Ozarks. I love it. The sun is out. Pleasant day. Love it.
Oh, that's awesome. We have got a great guest lined up today, don't we?
Yes, we definitely do. You know, it's really fun and exciting to be able to share success stories and people who are really making some tracks and moving and shaking in their business, making things happen. And so that is the type of person that we have with us today, which is really exciting, is that we have just such a person with us here today.
Absolutely. And this is Dr. Ina Gilmore, the knitting doctor, from theknittingyarn.com and caregivingwithpurpose.com. Welcome, Ina.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
And
well,
you have had a great year so far, haven't you?
I absolutely have. Just been amazing.
Well, we're going to look forward to hearing all about that really shortly. So what I want to start with is to tell a little bit about you and your journey, and I would love to know how you first encountered Gina Gaudio-Graves and Directions University.
I took an online internet marketing course from John Ritzkowitz in, I want to say it's 2008. I think that's the right year.
I think that is the right year, Ina. It's either 2008 or 2009, one of the two.
I'm pretty sure it was 2008.
I think you're right.
I know it was before 2009, anyway. It was in the fall, and Gina was one of the speakers that John had lined up to teach us about internet marketing. And of all the speakers that we had, hers was the one that really connected with me, letting us know that blogging was indeed a viable way to make money online and that there was a lot of opportunity in whatever niche we felt comfortable in. We didn't have to do it in internet marketing. As a matter of fact, she encouraged us not to unless we were already successful in internet marketing. And it just has been an amazing journey since then.
Really has.
I got into your gold calls, as a matter. You gifted that to us as part of that program. And then in, I believe it was April of 2010, I joined your bachelor's program.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
Yes, I've been following your system.
And back when you first got started, you were in a very different niche than where you've ended up.
Absolutely. I had started out, I wanted to do some writing, and in getting some advice from someone else, they suggested that because I was a knitter, that I should blog about knitting and develop a business that way. So I started to do that, and actually at times was kind of disappointed with the potential market. I just didn't understand how to look at it, and I thought there wouldn't be enough traffic or enough business for me to make a living online. And in pursuing the journey, attending your calls, there was one call in particular that one of your students, Carrie Tucker, was getting you to look at some sites for caregiving for her niche. She has a blog at heartfailuresolutions.com, and I remember it was like those websites just jumped out at me and spoke directly to my heart and said, this is what you want to do, is work with caregivers, help caregivers to get through caregiving. Because I've done that. I've been a physician and cared for caregivers and their patient and the patients, the people they care for, but also have gone through it myself in personal experience with giving care to elderly parents and understanding how difficult it can be to navigate the healthcare system these days, particularly if you want to do something slightly different that's not necessarily in their protocols. It can be very challenging. Yeah.
And boy, I still vividly remember the day that call took place and how blown away you were as you had this aha about yourself, realizing that's really what you wanted to do. That was a very emotional call, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. I was crying through it. I could hardly speak, and actually, at least one person, at least Carrie, told me later she didn't even hear that I said I was a doctor, because I guess the emotion was there.
It was. It was almost tangible for every single person on the call that day. It was very powerful.
Yeah, that's connecting with your purpose, I think.
And I had been working with you for months at that point and didn't even know that you were a physician.
Yeah, I did. I've noticed through my life that if I don't go around and tell people, they often treat me differently. And I kind of like to know how people are going to treat me when they don't know.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
And I must say, you passed, Gina.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah, I should say so. So, but I would love to know, so you kind of got on this trail of, you took this class and that's how you found Gina, but what was it that stirred in your soul or in your mind and heart that said, I want to change what I'm doing? Kind of before you started all this, what was it that set you off on this particular journey?
Oh, that was probably 9/11, 2001. At the time I was caring for my mother full time. We were in a bedroom community of Charlotte, North Carolina. I was working part time, which for a physician really doesn't always mean part time. It was an average of 20 hours a week over the year, but sometimes I would be on call 24/7 for up to 3 weeks at a time. And my mother didn't drive. She was in her late 80s. And as the traffic became more like Atlanta, I mean, around Charlotte became worse, and it was a 10-minute drive to the hospital was sometimes taking me up to half an hour. My mother no longer drove. There was no taxi service, and there was no bus. And I just realized how alone we were when 9/11 hit. And a lot of people don't realize, but Charlotte at that time, I don't know if it still is, was a huge banking community. And the news was just filled with the idea that, well, they've hit New York, Charlotte's next. And, of course, that frightened her. We were 4 hours away from family, so if something had happened. And she was actually afraid that I would be drafted into the Army, which I didn't find out till later. But the stress affected me. It actually affected me physically. and I had some health problems show up. So I decided to leave medicine, and within a week, it was less than a week, my symptoms disappeared.
Wow.
And the day I had to give notice, but the final day I gave notice, my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. So we went through that journey of an 80-some-year-old woman, how much treatment do you go through when they're, you know, fragile? And we went through that, and she had already had open heart surgery at the age of 79, which is when you're, at that time, they weren't doing it. They weren't doing the clot-busting medication, but they did for my mother, because that was 5 days after my dad passed.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Kind of a lot.
Well, big changes. Big
yeah.
changes. Wow.
Yeah, and yeah. after that, I ended up, I started taking care of her. She lived with me for until she passed. And
so the caregiving became a very immediate thing for you because you were caring for your mom at the time when all of this was just a beginning bud for you.
Absolutely, and it became very personal. Caregiving always has been personal. As a physician, it's sort of personal because you become a caregiver automatically. And becoming a physician is so ingrained in your personality after a while that you feel like you are a doctor and that's part of you. And that's also been part of the journey that's been really exciting to me, is that I'm no longer in active practice. So in many ways, I am a very different person than I was when I was in medicine, and I'm a different person than I was even 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, you really are.
And
right.
I think, Gina,
and
you've mentioned you can hear it in my voice.
You really can. Back then when you were first getting started, your voice was really soft and fairly quiet. And today your voice is just very loud, very strong. It is so clear that this is who you are, what you are an expert in. And the feeling that someone gets even in talking to you about your area of expertise is just really, really powerful.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, when you find and figure out what your purpose is and what things really makes your heart sing, what gets you excited, getting in touch with that and moving along that path just adds to your strength, doesn't it?
Really does.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a book I read years ago, Do What You Love, The Money Will Follow. And I never really understood it until I connected with my purpose, and I understand what she was saying now.
Very, very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting how that happens. So you did connect with what you love, with what your purpose is. And for anybody who might be in that place of maybe they have a stirring, Ina, that says, I'm just not quite satisfied with my life. I want to make this change, you know, start a business or start a new venture. What is it that you would say to that person who is where you were back in the day when 9/11 hit and you were making this change yourself?
Well, I would say make your decision carefully. You want to make sure that you have a support system emotionally, financially. You don't necessarily just want to stop what you're doing and go without a job, especially in today's economy.
Right.
But you want to explore your options. And for me, I would encourage people to go into Gina's program, because I think that's what really helped me a lot, to focus on things. And you know, if someone is seeking prayer, you know, or meditation, you do that. You have to get to yourself. I mean, get quiet and find out what your heart is saying. You have to really learn to listen to your heart, which can be very difficult for people who are in professions like medicine, like engineering, where you're doing a lot of thinking. You're doing a lot of it's not thinking with your heart so much. You know, it's thinking
yeah.
with your
mind. Thinking with your brain.
Thinking with your brain and a lot of intellectual development. I had heard a minister say one time that he had this vision of people in the audience that they were great big heads and no heart. That they had developed their minds to the point that they had sort of forgotten to develop their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to really connect emotionally. And sometimes it's difficult. It's very difficult sometimes to become an emotional person or to connect emotionally when you've been so trained in doing it logically or that's your normal way of doing it. If that's what you normally think of, it can be very hard to switch over, and it can just take time, and you just have to let the time, let the process come about as and be kind to yourself as far as the time and when the right time is there, you'll know that that's your passion.
Mhm. Yeah, you really will.
Yeah. And to be willing to trust that, it really does take an act of faith, doesn't it, Ina?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think I could have done it without believing in a higher power, that I was
yeah.
being led on this journey. You know, it just, there are so many twists and turns sometimes that you just have to develop that faith, and sometimes you have to develop that faith before you can find your passion.
Yeah. I think it takes an act of faith to even seek the passion in today's world where you're told, oh, the economy is so scary and blah, and all this bad stuff is happening. And so I think it can really disconnect people not only from their heart but from their faith that things can work out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. And I think I would love to see us have everywhere, you know, just a change in attitude that people look at things more positively. That certainly
mm-hmm.
is one of the things that I do not miss from the from medicine, is that I realized after I got out of it how much fear and negativity there is. It's like fear stalks the hospital corridors.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking back on it, you know, I would go on vacation and I would feel really good for a couple of hours, and by 10, 11 o'clock in the morning when I was back, I would just feel all this pressure again.
Right.
And I think it was, you know, it was fear, it was negativism. There's a
yeah.
lot of things. If I can't even listen anymore to some of the commercials the government puts out for do you know these questions? You know, it's like, wait a minute,
mm-hmm.
you're trying to scare me into going to the doctor.
Mhm.
Yeah, and that's what it seems like a lot of it is. You know, you have to take this medicine, or you have to do this. You have to look at something a certain way. And, you know, doctors get into that they have to do things the way they were taught to do it, or they run the risk of being sued and losing their license and losing their their livelihood. And there's a great big
well, yeah.
about it.
And it's so true. Even think of the whole disease prevention. Well, that's a very different thing to say disease prevention than thriving.
Yes.
You know, living a healthy life or whatever. That's like, oh, I got to prevent this nastiness from coming. And that type of thing can really, it's very subtle a lot of times as to how all those kinds of thoughts can show up. Negativity sometimes is very, like, it's evident and blatantly so, but a lot of times it's more subtle.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And if you focus on it, it just gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
It gets less and less subtle, I think.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. It's like a stealth negativity.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Right, exactly. So in your journey, you had decided to make this change. Caregiving was important to you. You started off with The Knitting Yarn, theknittingyarn.com. And that site has gone under... gone through many changes as you have evolved. And so now share a little bit about what happened after this big moment that you had on that call with Gina, and as you've progressed, you've found ways to harmonize the knitting and the caregiving. So let's have you take a little bit of time, if you would, Ina, please, to walk us through that aspect of your journey.
Okay. Well, when I first realized it was caregiving, I wanted to continue knitting the knitting yarn because I had started it. And I started looking at ways that knitting could help caregivers. And one of the ways that I found was that I've always known it's a way of relaxing. You kind of get out of yourself, you're concentrating on the knitting, and it's a great stress reliever. But I wanted to see if there was some medical research on that. And there actually is. They're out of Harvard. There have been studies on the relaxation response, which is relaxation that is triggered by repetitive movements or by repetitive sounds. So that's where various activities such as knitting, yoga, meditation, even repetitive prayer, even people that are able to just relax one muscle at a time, that kind of relaxation. Tai Chi is another method, and there are some other things that do it. But after about 20 minutes of one of those activities, the relaxation response is triggered, your blood pressure goes down, your heart rate slows, the muscles relax, tension leaves your body, and it's actually been physically proven, which is absolutely wonderful for caregivers because there is so much stress involved. It can really be a 24/7 stress. Even if you're not taking care of the person that much, you're worried about them.
Right.
And you may be worried about, you know, what's going on if they're in a nursing home or if someone else is caring for them or even if they're in the hospital. And just a brief moment of that can help. And then got into some other things with finding out about laughter, how that also relieves stress instantaneously, and reading a little bit more about Norman Cousins and how he cured himself of painful arthritis by watching Marx Brothers movies.
Mm-hmm.
And he took vitamins also, and then later on he had a heart attack and did the same thing again.
Mm-hmm.
And through that process of trying to find a whole list of things, that's when I started thinking about a heart plan, which is getting different ways for caregivers to help themselves to thrive in caregiving rather than just surviving it.
Mm-hmm.
And that has kind of led me, you know, the one area led to another as I was finding more about stress and caregiving and how to cope with it, how to more than cope with it, to really accept it. And probably, I think a lot of caregivers, they're drawn to caregiving because it is part of their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be a lifetime purpose. It may just be for one person that's involved. But you can see it. You can see it, whether it's a mother with a child, or you know, an adult child taking care of a parent, or an adult taking care of an ill spouse, or even brothers and sisters taking care of each other. It just, you can see the caregiver's heart, and the kind of havoc that it can play with a caregiver, whether it's financial, because they may have to give up a job to take care of someone, or maybe they can't work the same hours they did or do the same type of activity. It can be moving, selling your home and having to move into a nursing home. That's what happened to one of my aunts and uncles, was that when he got Alzheimer's disease, she got him into a nursing home, and she sold their three-story house and moved in with him, you know, into the more independent area. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, less friends, and I mean, I'm sure that happens all across the country.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting journey, though. You started off with the knitting. You realized the caregiving was there. And wasn't there a sense for a while of trying to figure out, how can I can I bring these two things together, or should I, or shouldn't I, or in any of those kinds of questions? Were those rolling through your mind?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was trying to figure out, and Gina, of course, helped me a lot with figuring out that the knitting yarn, the knitting is part of what caregivers should be doing. Now, if it's not knitting, it should be some other probably craft or relaxation thing. But that, yeah, I wondered for a while, wondering if I should focus on just caregiving and ignore the knitting. And then there have been times when I've wondered if, well, maybe the caregiving, even though that's a, maybe that I should focus more on the knitting. But
mm-hmm.
finding how the two of them go together, that the knitting can lead into caregiving and caregivers that are seeking help can find it through knitting,
mm-hmm.
I think blends the two of them together.
So, Gina, you often talk about helping people create harmony in their business or to harmonize different elements that may seem to not necessarily be related, or they may be kind of related, but, you know, trying to figure out how should that work together. Would you talk a little bit about that? Because I think it's an important conversation for our listeners.
Well, in Ina's case, if Ina had just stayed doing the knitting stuff and then realized that she's got this other passion for really helping caregivers and then started something completely separate related to the caregivers, she would have been in a position where the knitting wasn't growing the caregiving part of her business. The caregiving part of her business wasn't growing the knitting part of her business.
Right.
She'd be faced with choices. Okay, do I work on knitting today? Do I work on caregiving today? Trying to do both things simultaneously would mean
mm-hmm.
that she would be scattered in her approach. It would be literally twice the work because she's truly building two separate businesses simultaneously.
Right.
But by harmonizing the two, and what I mean by that is instead of just doing knitting for people who like knitting or caregiving for people who like caregiving, to instead make one audience the focus of both pieces. So Ina no longer goes after knitters or caregivers. She goes after caregivers who are also knitters on purpose. And now everything she does sends people to one or the other part of her business. If she really sits down and thinks about who her prospects and customers are, what they're out there searching for, some people are likely to go out searching for help with the knitting first. Others are likely to go out searching for help with the caregiving first. And by bringing them into the place that they're looking for information on, and then from there, helping them get both things into their world, it gets them to bring Ina into their lives in a more complete way. Ina really no longer has to make choices. Everything she does grows her business regardless of which part it happens to be. Mm-hmm. And it makes Ina's message louder. She now plays a more complete role in the lives of the people that she's reaching. This is something that internet marketers tend to not do very well. For most mm-hmm. people in the internet marketing to internet marketer space, they may have 10, 12, 20, 50 sites, each site having a different topic, none of them harmonized. So now they have to drive multiple different streams of traffic. They keep their value per customer very low because none of their stuff is really harmonized for one audience. I've had
right.
students have 10 to 20 different sub-niches, all of them targeting different people, and they can make one sale to one customer, but then they have to go find a new customer. They don't have something else to sell them. It takes a long time to make serious income in your business if you do it that way.
You're always treading water.
You really are. Doing it in a way that is harmonized, for Ina, the more she brought the knitting into the caregiving into the knitting, the more excited she got, and the better the results happened to be at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's great. So, Ina, from your perspective, as you started to find ways, and I want you to tell us about a heart planet in just a moment, but as you started to go, oh, I can really make this all work together and be its own little symphony instead of fracturing my focus between knitting on one side and caregiving on the other, that I can combine those. How did that feel for you? It certainly showed through in your voice and everything, but inside of you, how did that feel?
Oh, it felt like it suddenly became easy. You know, that it wasn't work anymore. It's now joyful, and it's becoming much, I mean, every time I do it, it becomes much easier. And one of the things that I did with my sites was that early on I used your template, Rhonda, and expanded on it to write for a perfect prospect that would fit into both sites. And when I went through that, I looked up things like, for someone her age, what would her favorite colors be? And I went through things like that and then created the sites to fit her.
Uh-huh.
So that both sites have a lot of the same colors, they have a lot of the same structure to them, but they're actually set up to be a welcoming, like an oasis for a caregiver who knits or a knitter who gives caregiving, however they think of themselves.
And if you look at even little baby details like your logo, your header graphics, etc., you did a brilliant job of harmonizing the two parts of who you are into one complete thing. The logo that you've created that has your own hands, one of them holding a stethoscope, the other holding a ball of yarn with two knitting needles, and the hands then being set on a cloud background, it's now the logo for both websites. It creates the graphics for both websites. They aren't different graphics. They aren't separate logos. It's one logo that really shows the harmonization of the two topics.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And actually that logo is also what I use on Gmail and Facebook and other places too. It just really, rather than using my face, I'm using my hands.
Well, and once you got clear on this aspect of not being in the knitting niche or the caregiving niche, but really targeting caregivers who knit or knitters who give care, literally everything else that had been hard in the business became very easy, and how you did it became very clear instantly because of the harmonization, didn't it?
Yes. Yes, it did. That's true. The harmony is just, and I think this is probably the most important part of what it is finding your niche, and it's not necessarily what somebody else thinks it is, but it's harmonizing who you are, and it may be, like in my case, it's two different sub-niches becoming one that's very unique. Because
and that really differentiates you from the competition in a big way, does it not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I look at sites that are for caregivers, they don't bring anything in about knitting, or a lot of times they don't bring anything in about any hobbies at all.
Right.
And yet that may be what somebody's looking at, because it's hard to figure out what a caregiver is searching for sometimes. And the same thing is true for the knitting. I mean, it may be somebody that doesn't even realize, they may enjoy the knitting but may not realize that they need help with the caregiving. And maybe that's what they need. I get them from both sides, I think, with this. And it just, like you say, Gina, it just harmonizes. It makes everything easy. And it's even writing blog posts. I did one this morning in about an hour. And after I just wrote it, and then afterwards I went back and made sure that it fit your six-step process. And all I had to do was change a couple of words to fit a keyword in there, because I didn't have a keyword. Other than that, it fits your six-step process with... it's just become so automatic.
That's awesome. And once you got clear on these two things being in harmony with one another, the idea of a heart plan really came to you. You didn't have to go out searching for it. And a heart plan is a big part of how you will monetize everything on both websites. Can you talk a little bit about how that came about and what it does and how it helps you in your business?
Sure. Well, that came about when I was working with Terry and Robert Talltree in trying to in developing a product for caregivers, and we did one interview, phone call interview, and afterwards it just didn't feel right to me. It felt like it was unfinished. We had talked very much about the problems, but not a solution. And it took, and as I was trying to combine the trying to get the knitting in and other stress reduction, it just came to me one day that, you know, what I really needed was something to do with that logo, and the logo has a heart. Well, actually, that was I found the heart plan before, but I was thinking about a caregiver's heart, and I just started doodling with some of the letters, and that's what I came up with, was a heart plan. Figuring out what, it wasn't really even figuring, it just sort of came to me the what fit. Because I wanted to go ahead.
And a heart plan is an acronym. What does it stand for?
It stands for, A is for accepting your caregiving role, which is something that a lot of caregivers don't even think of themselves as caregivers, or they feel like they got dumped on to become a caregiver. H is for healthy humor helps, the importance of humor. E is for eliminating negativity. A is for avoiding isolation. R is for reducing your stress reaction. Two people can have the same level of stress on them, and one person will be stressed out about it, and the other one will kind of go with the flow. So if you can kind of, that helps. T is for Thanksgiving and giving thanks, which can be hard to do sometimes when you're in the midst of stress. P is for finding your purpose, and that's an important part of, as we've already said, you know, everybody surviving. L is for loving and forgiving. A is for becoming an advocate. And N is last, but it's not least, and it shouldn't be last. It's nurturing yourself, body, soul, and spirit. And the letters actually really make a circle. And you have to remember that sometimes N has to be first, not last.
That's awesome. And how does a heart plan become literally a part of everything in your business?
Well, I have an audio package for it so that it actually becomes, I can talk about every aspect of it in any blog post that I do, because it is nurturing the caregivers. And it's when I switch things around and I'm not talking just about, for example, I wrote a post a couple weeks ago on a new Alzheimer's test that's available with a PET scan that may become, I mean, this may become a diagnostic test. I think it's still in the research phase, but this is potentially something very exciting because, as you probably know, Alzheimer's now is diagnosed by clinical testing where the doctor will examine the person, and the definitive diagnosis, yes, this person actually has Alzheimer's, can't be made until after death, and that's not really a good idea.
Right.
A lot of people don't want that anyway, but I can now talk about something with that testing about how caregivers would be thankful for it, for example. The new technology that wasn't here 40 years ago. I mean, you think about it, there were no CAT scans 40 years ago, let alone PET scans.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it just becomes a part of everything. Like you say, whether it's the blog posts, things that I'm doing. I went the other, you know, just one of the things, exciting things that happened to me this month was becoming an instructor for knitting and quilting at my local Joann's. Well, I think part of that was because I was just thinking of other ways to grow my business, and would be this something would be included, and part of that is, you know, getting the message out, and that's what I want to do, and that's what I want to do with the heart plan, is to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And
you've even created a store through a tool called Zazzle that has a whole line of products with a heart plan message on it.
Yes.
Where can they find that if they want to check out the store with the heart plan products on it?
They can go to caregivingwithpurpose.com/shop.
Caregivingwithpurpose.com/shop. You definitely want to check that out for ideas of what you can do in your business. And now every message you share, everything you teach, has this central component of a heart plan. Whether you're selling physical products like tote bags, T-shirts, ID cards, etc., whether you're selling digital products like the audio package that you've got, a heart plan guides everything that you do. And people become so mesmerized with the whole idea of a heart plan because there's so much symbolism. It has a meaning all of its own with just a heart plan. What a great thing to want. But then the meaning within the words is even more powerful. So literally everything you do in your business is guided by a heart plan, from the free things you offer all the way up to the high-end things that you offer and everything in between.
Yes.
Right.
And just imagine going into Joann's with everything in a heart plan bag, and that those kinds of things can really help to share that message for you, because the tools and products can help you do that. And then people will start asking questions, and that becomes an opening beyond whatever's happening in the class. So there are just so many different ways when you have a tool like that that really represents what you're about. You can have conversations about it at so many different levels.
Yes. Yes, I guess I really hadn't realized that, but yeah, that's exactly.
I had another student this morning that said he's been using my system now for quite a long period of time, 14, 15, 16 months, I think. And while the system gets him traffic, he doesn't necessarily see the system making sales in an automated way. The system builds relationships, and if he works the relationships, it causes sales. But it doesn't get someone to find them on Google, coming to his website, going from the website to a free something, going from there to a paid something in a hands-off way. The system isn't designed to make that happen in a hands-off way. The system by design is meant to create evangelists that spread your message, that bring more people to you to want everything you've got to offer. And part of doing that is to come up with the system and message that you share through things like a heart plan, so that it can become part of people's conversations and the people you touch bring more people to you. And I think that's what you're now starting to see in your own world, Ina. Things start showing up like this opportunity to teach at Joann's in a way that can get people talking about you. Not because they want to make money selling your stuff as an affiliate, but because you're playing such a powerful role in their lives. When they talk about themselves, they naturally talk about you.
Yes.
I'm very anxious to see what happens the next few months as you get started teaching that class, because I really think they're going to start to see sales happening because of the evangelism that will start to occur very naturally.
That's exciting.
It really is.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was really cool to see you doing that Zazzle store because, you know, most people thinking about having a way to have T-shirts, tote bags, etc., it sounds like it would be something hard that would cost you lots of money, that would take lots of time to create? How easy was it for you to create the whole line of products with a heart plan on it?
Oh, it was very easy because I needed the, first of all, I just needed to get the image, and Zazzle does it for you. There's a button or that you can click on that will create like 100 different products for you, and then you can go in and edit them if they need it. Some of them do. Sometimes the image doesn't look quite right on the product they pick, but it's very simple to do it, and it can be the items can then be customized by somebody else if they want. I'm happy to customize them for people if they need help with that. Somebody wants to sell them for, you know, like a nursing home or something.
Mm-hmm. So they can have their name right alongside a heart plan message.
Absolutely.
Right, that'd be beautiful. Just imagine, you know, either a local group of caregivers that might maybe be in a meetup or perhaps a nursing home or some other kind of care facility having a heart plan customized to that particular group in these different products. That would be tremendous. They could use it perhaps as a fundraiser and just as a way to keep themselves focused and on purpose.
Yes. Yes, and what's nice about Zazzle is it's one of those stores that they make the products as they're ordered, so you have no cost up front.
Right.
Other than you know, your logo or whatever, if you have a cost for a graphic.
And you didn't even have to go and pay somebody to do that. You were able to do it with the tools you already had access to.
Yes.
Yep,
mine
is very creative with that. She's one of the tops amongst your students that's really good with imaging of that nature. It's tremendous.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I just created that logo by knitting a heart and putting the letters around it. That's sort of where the idea of the circle came up. With it around there, and actually I think that was something that Terry Taltree had suggested to me, that it would look really good as a circle.
Mm-hmm. And then you just took a picture of your hands holding the heart.
Yeah, that was for the logo, and for the other one, I actually put it on a knitted square.
Mm-hmm.
For the heart plan with the letters on it. The letters didn't. I can't knit them very well, so they're twisted yarn, but everything is yarn.
Yarn, right.
Yeah, which goes along so much with the knitting yarn.
Right.
And you've also taken a moniker for yourself, too, which is the Knitting Doctor.
Yes. Yes. That took me a while to figure that out, but it just seemed very natural.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. It combines the knitting, and it combines my the medicine and care, and I think really fits into caregiving well too. It's also kind of I think it's probably less intimidating to be referred to as, you know, the knitting doctor rather than Dr. Ina Gilmore or Ina Gilmore MD. You know, that's kind of a mouthful for people, but I think the knitting doctor is kind of like, oh, well, you know, that's somebody that I want to talk to, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then also with having a heart plan, you're knitting hearts, and there's a subliminal kind of message about that, and the knitting hearts together, and I think that's just a beautiful subtext to all of it.
Yes. Yep.
So, Rhonda, what else would you like to know from Ina today?
Well, one of the things I wanted Ina to share is how in doing some keyword research, how you stumbled across something that people were really looking for and what that has done for your traffic and for your business.
Some of the keyword research includes...
I'm not saying you had to give up all your keywords, but just the ones about the videos that really have done something big for you.
Well, actually, that was... Gina was looking for keywords and came up with some videos with... or some keywords with the videos, how to knit videos. And that was back in the summer. And I just
that
started.
That's a really cool little story all by itself.
Yes, it is.
As we were getting my instant video out to the world, I went out to do some research. What I wanted to know was what kind of videos are people looking for more than any others? And is there a specific kind of video that has both a fairly good demand and yet practically no competition? So I started with just the word video in keyword tools. Looked at what I saw there. Okay, nothing jumping out at me. So then I said, okay, let's try how-to video or how-to videos, plural. The minute I looked at how-to video, I instantly realized that the one niche that has the greatest amount of demand with the least amount of competition related to how-to videos had to do with knitting. How-to knit videos, oh my goodness, what an amazingly great keyword, wasn't it, Ina?
Yes, yes, it was huge.
And my reason for looking for it at the time was I was going to set up a blog in that niche, and I was then going to get somebody to write some articles so that I could have a good example to use with other potential My Instant Video customers. Well, when I realized that how to knit videos was a great keyword, I went, wow, I don't have to do all this work myself. I could just give it to somebody in the knitting space and let them do it for me. And so I picked up the phone. I'm like, Ina, you've got to check this out. It is so great.
Right.
And the first article that you used that keyword in had some pretty great results quickly, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It started... my numbers started really climbing. I had been seeing probably 30 on average visitors before then, a day, and it jumped. It was actually that month, I think, was the first time I had 100 visitors a day. Right now the average is around the low of 60 to 70, and that's from July, so that's about 7 months. And this month, Jean, I haven't told you, but in the past month, I've had, since December 27th, I've had 3 days when I had over 100 visitors on that site.
Oh, Ina, that is awesome.
And it's the low point now is 60 visitors a day for the most part. Occasionally there's one that's lower, but yeah, it's running between six, it's running probably 70 to 80 is the average right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big improvement.
Yeah, which has been a combination of my doing how to knit videos, and I think the My Instant video, also some of the posts I have how to knit video in the name, and
yeah,
I've changed it around so that to see the post, to see the video, they actually have to sign into my. Sign up and become a member of my site.
Oh, I like it. I like it a lot. So are you seeing subscribers on a regular basis from this now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm up to 117 members, and I'm seeing probably, most of the time it's on the weekend that I see them, but there's as many as two or three a day sometimes. I'm probably
That's
seeing
awesome.
At least five a week.
That is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big improvement over the summer when you first started with that keyword.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, like so many things, it can be cumulative. That one cannot expect to put out one post or one video or one whatever and think that that's going to be the magic post. It's very rare that happens. So
that's
I want
true.
To make sure our listeners understand what we're talking about. Let them go and see an example of this, et cetera. So if you go to theknittingyarn.com, theknittingyarn.com with a T-H-E at the beginning, that's Ina's site related to knitting. In the sidebar, you'll see an area that says subscribe to our RSS feeds, and you'll see 4 RSS feeds there. One is a multimedia RSS feed that has audio, video, text, and images all in one feed. One is a text-only feed that's just the standard WordPress RSS feed that has text and images in it. One is an audio podcast that just has audios, and one is a video podcast that just has videos. Those extra RSS feeds were created just by installing a plugin called My Instant Video, which you'll find at myinstantvideo.com. And because she has My Instant Video on that site, every time she writes an article and publishes it to the Knitting Yarn, My Instant Video then goes in, takes that article, first converts it to a video, kind of looks like a PowerPoint slideshow, puts the video into post with a little button at the top that says play video, and accumulates all of the videos in the video podcast, then takes the article and converts it into an audio, adds a little icon that says play audio, and adds the audios to an audio podcast. And so just from writing a blog post, Ina now has a text version with an image in it, an audio version, and a video version, all the same blog post, but three separate pieces of content. And the audio, the video, and the text can all get indexed separately in the search engines. So you write one blog post, and you instantly have three entries in search instead of one. That's a big deal and can really impact traffic in a very big way. It can also help to build the relationship with the prospects better, because each person can find the stuff that you've got in the format they want it. They're no longer having to find it in the format you wanted to put it into. That's a big deal for people, and it really makes them feel like you're serving them better, which then gets them wanting to subscribe, join your membership site, buy your products, et cetera, much more frequently.
Yeah, and the other thing you can do very easily is to customize the slides so that they have the background image that you want. I have the sky again in mine, and have the knitting yarn, the Knitting Doctor logo in it, and also have a little bit, I have both of my websites on the page, and nurturing and supporting caregivers and knitters.
And My Instant Video makes it very easy to put that kind of a background into every screen of the video, so that when someone's watching your videos, it's really helping to build your brand identity and brand recognition even more because of it.
Absolutely.
And then you use those videos not just on your website, but you really get those videos out all over the place. What do you do with the videos that My Instant Video creates for you?
Well, they're in a video podcast, so they go to iTunes. But on top of that, I put them into Blip.tv, which allows me to upload them, and they will automatically put them into YouTube and a whole bunch of other places. I actually have to take off that. I don't want them to submit them again to iTunes, because My Instant Video does that automatically for me, or it's done automatically through the feed burner. They go out, like you say, all over, Gina. They're on YouTube and all kinds of different places that Blip TV will put them out for me.
That's awesome. And then you also upload them to YouTube too, don't you?
Actually, I had been, but Blip TV automatically does that for me now.
Oh, how nice.
So all I have to do is put them into Blip TV, and now you have to, I think you have to have a couple of your videos in Blip TV before they will do it. It's not the first time I did it, but they'll do it for me now.
That's fantastic.
That's another free serve.
Wow.
Plus they have all kinds of, plus they have some cool statistics that you can't on how many people are looking at your looking at them, and you can make a little bit of money off of it.
Mhm.
That is awesome. Well, we are almost out of time, Ina.
Okay.
If you could give just one piece of advice to someone who's looking for a way to build a business online, what would you say?
I would say they need to get a hold of you, get into your program.
Thank you for that. And the best way to get started is with the 30dayiamchallenge.com. So the number 30dayiamchallenge.com will get you started faster than anything else I could give you. And it's totally free to sign up. Thank you so much, Ina. Thank you, Rhonda, for arranging this. And we will be back next week with who as a guest?
We have Kenan Fort next week, and he is also arranges joint ventures, and it will be wonderful to have him on our show next week.
It will. I am looking forward to that. So have a great week, everyone, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks again.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.